Blog Talk Radio.
The oppressor always points out to the oppressed the odds are against you. Fidel Castro was up in the mountains of Cuba. They told him the odds were against him. Now he's in Havana and all the powers of this country can't remove him. Time is on the side of the oppressed. Is on the side of the oppressed.
Standing up into the flame.
Down just the soul whose intentions are pure. Oh God, please don't let me be misunderstood.
I watched the TV the other day, right? Got this white guy on there talking about black guys. Talking about how young black guys are talking. Talking about who? America. You see, one in every 100 Americans are locked up. One in every 9 black Americans are locked up. You see, what the white guy was trying to stress was that the money that we spend on sending motherfuckers to jail, a young motherfucker to jail, would be less to send his or her young ass to college. See, and the last thing the white guy was stressing was that our country populated with drug dealers, you know, crack cocaine, yeah, stuff like that. Meaning, due to the laws we have on crack cocaine and regular cocaine, the police are only, I don't say only right, but shit, only logic by riding around in the hood all day and not in the suburbs, because crack cocaine is mostly found in the hood. And, you know, the other thing is mostly found. You know where I'm going. But why bring a motherfucker to jail if it's not going to stand up in court? Because this drug ain't that drug. You know, level 3, level 4 drug, shit like that. I guess it's all a misunderstanding. And, I sit back and think, well, shit, us young motherfuckers, you know, that 1 in every 9, we probably only selling the crack cocaine because we in the hood. And it's not like your suburbs. We don't have the things that you have. Why? I really don't want to know that answer. But, I guess it's understood, huh? Yeah. You know, we don't have room to deal now for the real motherfuckers, the real criminals, you know, sex offenders, rapists, serious criminals. You know, we don't have room to deal now for the real motherfuckers, the real criminals, you know, sex offenders, rapists, sex offenders, rapists. You know, we don't have room to deal now for the real motherfuckers, the real criminals, you know, sex offenders, rapists. Serious killer, shit like that. Oh, don't get scared. Don't get scared. I know you saw one of them sex offender papers. Don't trip. He lives right on the end of your block. Yeah. That nigga live right down the street from you. Sex offender on the level 3 drug. Convicted. Ex-con. Yeah. Check him out. And what you got? You got a daughter, son? What you got? Yeah. You know what? I'm not the track. That's the good weed. You know what? I have a fucking daughter. You understand me? And why the fuck would you bring my neighbor to jail just because the reason why he lives next door to me ain't the reason why I live next door to him? Meaning, he didn't rap his way to my fucking neighborhood. He sold crack cocaine to get to my neighborhood. You move him out, bring him to jail for life. And then you move on to the next one. They give me a paper. Is that a misunderstanding? Because I don't understand. Another thing. Let me take my glasses off. Because I won't see the reaction on the face when I say this. Mr. Al Sharpton, here's why I don't respect you. And nobody likes you. See, you're the type that gets off on getting on other people. That's not good. No homo. And rather unhuman, I should say. I mean, given the fact that humanity, well, good humanity rather, to me, is helping one another, no matter your color or race. But this guy, and me, given the fact that humanity, well, good humanity rather, to me, is helping one another, no matter your color or race. But good humanity rather, this guy and people like him, they'd rather speculate before they inflammate. If that's the word. You know, spec before check. Anyway, meaning, I'd much rather you talk to me first and see if you can lend an opinion before you make one. Just my thought of good humanity, Mr. Sharpton. Hold on, I ain't finished with you, man. I gotta plug that shit. Hold on. Mr. Sharpton. And anyone like you, you don't know me. So, if you're not going to try to, then what you say or think of, or whatever I do is totally capital, totally ghost to me. And it doesn't make you a good person to criticize before you improvise. It doesn't necessarily make you a bad person either, but the characteristics are having it in the bad way. Because I am human, I am good and bad as well. But I try my hardest to stay good. And some of the things I do and say may be bad or just not too good. But I do try. So with that said, I don't fault you. I mean, you're all human. Good or bad. But I also don't respect you. And I don't care if that's good or bad. Good or bad. But I also don't respect you. And I don't care.
I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Hey.
Do you understand me now? If sometimes you see that I'm mad. Don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Is abnormality normal? What is normal? The line, however, is sometimes unfairly arbitrary. It's easy to believe that psychological abnormality only affects the other person. Today we're going to talk about the psychotic, schizophrenic psychology of the Anglo-Saxon systematic assessment and the dangers within. The criteria for assessment include interviews, questionnaire, performance tests, and recommendations. Now, let's be clear. Psychology, psychiatry, whatever you want to call it, is a pseudoscience. Pseudo, somewhat science, is not a science. It is not accurate. It is opinionated. Now, the opinion. Who does the opinion come from? And if you cannot trust the messenger, how can you be comfortable with the message? Today, I was doing a show that I consider to be informative. And I'm also going to tell you where you can find out the facts if some of these things are startling to you or what have you. Now, the assessment procedures, the reliability of these procedures, no one really questions the rate of error, meaning that there is an extremely prone rate of error with these people. The reliability of their errors are internal. The validity of their assessments are rarely questioned. Now, the reason why I'm doing this show is because there are some problems going on within this society and in America. The majority of people that are locked up have never, ever received any mental health evaluations or are becoming mentally ill as a result of being locked up, meaning that you have more victims in the jail, in the prisons, than you have perpetrators. And the people who put them in there are not being assessed. And, you know, one of my positions is that there needs to be testing done on judges, lawyers, what have you. Now, the Duke School did a study, and according to their study, 49% of the United States presidents had some point or some cause of mental illness. Now, it's the powers that be, the chief, commander-in-chief, what have you, have mental illness, and they're running this country. What does it tell you about judges and lawyers and governors, what have you? You know, mental evaluation should be mandatory, but not just mandatory. The screening process should be reviewed. Let me tell you all some things. The face validity. The face validity means that they put you in front of these people, and they test your facial expressions. Now, it's called the Rorschach test. It measures your qualities as far as defensiveness, ego, strength, and what have you. These tests, okay, are Anglo-Saxon tests with a westernized point of view. There are misclassifications based on a low rate. The predictive validity of these tests are inaccurate. Let me just read you all something about when people are diagnosed. You know, these are quotes coming from psychiatrists who got out or are still into this practice as a result. Now, Sigmund Freud said back in the day, the moment a man begins to question the meaning and value of life, he all of a sudden is considered sick. Okay, that says a lot. When you question life, they question you. Now, here are some doctors. My concern is that people are having their minds blunted in a way that probably does diminish their capacity to appreciate life, and blunted after the effect. After the fact, they've been given medication, and we're going to go into why they've been given medication when this is a pseudoscience. It is not based on fact. It is based on the opinion of a person that is before you. And a number of times, these opinions are biased and are racially motivated. And when these people have a certain point of view, you have to look at the doctors. They're really, most of them, in my opinion, that give opinions to people they don't even know. And because people are going through maybe post-traumatic syndrome or what have you, they classify these people with mental disorders that they came up with. Anglo-Saxon views, predominantly male-orientated. Now, Wade Hudson gave testimony before the Senate subcommittee about the abuse and misuse of controlled drugs in institutions and stated, it's very hard to describe the effects of these drugs and others like it. That's why we use strange words like zombie. But in my case, the experience becomes sheer torture. Janet Gottkin testimony before the Senate subcommittee on the abuse of drugs given to people in involuntary settings and institutions. People's voices came through filtered and strange. They cannot penetrate my thorazine fog, and I cannot escape my drug prison. Sedation, drowsiness, difficulty thinking, poor concentration,
emotional dullness, depression, despair, nightmares, all the result of the psychiatric drugs administered, according to Dr. Calgary. This is in 1987. He made this assessment. Major tranquilizers are considered to be effective to organize psychotic thinking, but have more adverse effects. So these are the opinions of these people. Now, I'm going to go into some other things. The unstructured interviews. Now, the unstructured interviews are open-ended and do not follow a particular format. Now, listen to this. The so-called psychiatrists, or whatever you call it, they have unstructured interviews. It does not follow a certain format. Errors are especially likely to occur if the trait or condition being assessed has a low base rate. That is, it is relatively rare. Like both reliability and validity, however, utility is a matter of degree. Due to the measurement of inaccuracy, some honest persons will be falsely accused, and some honest, dishonest ones not detected, such as the doctors who administer these tests. Now, the point I'm making is the fact of the matter that in these jails, in these institutions, in these prisons, the majority of the people are incarcerated at a higher rate and are subjected to mental illness conditions in which there are no treatments for. Now, according to a study, there are only 2% or less than 2% of mentally ill people been diagnosed mentally ill in the jail, meaning that the most mentally ill people live amongst you and I and are not incarcerated. Therefore, the people that we think are functioning at a normal level have illnesses that are going undetected. But the people who are becoming mentally ill as a result of these treatments in the jails are being mentally ill as a result of arbitrary treatment and classification. It says one problem is the possible contamination of ratings and perceptions by the person's current mood and distress by other determining factors. And it limits the accuracy of the rating as reflection of what really goes on in the family. Like Lil Wayne said, you got rapists living amongst you. And so when you lock up a lot of women who are victimized, men are victimized too. Let's talk about the institution of the victim. When you victimizing a victim, what does mental illness do? Mental illness could be depression, and some mental illness is not illness, but it's normal. That's why I started off. It's abnormality normal. According to this study, about the 49% of the United States president's mental illness, a lot of that mental illness occurs within the White House. Depression. Realizing what's really happening. The biological assessment techniques have genetic defects, deficiencies, structural errors. Why do we rely on these things? You know, why are we considering the Anglo assessment? And these assessments are gender biased, culturally arbitrary. There's so many things going on that into the westernized psychological world, when you have these persons diagnosing you, in all actuality, they are the ones with the illness. Those who participate in research projects, and a lot of times they don't know this, must give informed consent, which is an agreement to participate only after the procedures and their risks are fully disclosed. And most of the time, they're not. They are coerced into these participations. Forced to participate in opinionated studies and structures of persons who are not even qualified, and their opinion has really little or no value. Moreover, people tend to misinterpret the source of problems revealed by these assessment procedures. When people explain the behavior of others, they generally underrepresent or underestimate the influence of situation and overestimate the influence of personality traits. This tendency is called a fundamental attribution error. They have so many errors in their pseudoscience. The human error clinical assessment. The human mind, contrary to current cliches, is not a computer. And unlike a computer, it makes a lot of mistakes. So these so-called psychologists are making a lot of mistakes, human errors. They have mental shortcuts, and they're being imposed on innocent people. And based on these errors, there are millions and millions of victims in prison. When the Constitution tells you anyone with mental illness should not be in jail or what have you, but they use these diagnoses to stop Black Power Movement. Thank you. And the guests, they stop. They use these assessments to just put people in jail because the prison industrial complex are privatizing the rights of the people. And the easiest way to get a person convicted is to declare those who are fighting for their rights, who are victims, incompetent by reason of a diagnosis of people who aren't really trained and under these assessments. You have what they call the confirmatory bias. I mean, they have mental templates, and they filter these things out, and they shape their ignorance and distorted views amongst people who aren't even aware their hypotheses are not within the realm of impartiality. And then this confirmatory bias, it sustains their stereotypes, you know, and it's disconfirming information. They use this bias based upon first impressions, illusory correlations, such as, oh, they're just saying they're raped because they don't want to deal with this man. When the fact a person is raped, they've been raped, you know, but you have an Anglo-Saxon person who's trying to figure out why they're saying they're raped. Instead of like Lil Wayne just said, you're forming an opinion without inquiring, you know. They have availability bias, meaning that you have people who give an assessment before the patient is seen, such as the judge and the DA. They send the psychiatrist, the psychologist, they're already assessments. And what these psychologists do, they form an opinion before they meet the people. Okay, the assessment typically includes collecting various sources of information. And then with the sources of information, they already make a diagnostic. You know, these people need to be sued, investigated, and there needs to be an overhaul of the government internal situation that's going on. One of the things says the diagnosis of mental disorders also has the potential difficulties centered on the classification system. Within all of this diversity, how do you figure out the essential differences that might provide the organizing framework for classification? Meaning, you're not taking into consideration the cultural aspect of the person, the belief system of the person, the religious belief. For instance, you might have a married man who wants to leave his wife, but based on his belief of, or a married woman who wants to leave her husband, and based on their belief of a religious vows, what have you, they become depressed and in a certain mood. And then they get diagnosed with all type of disorders because they're fighting their religious belief with their flesh and what have you. So it goes beyond a mere classification. The diversity in their beliefs are not taken into consideration. The categories are sometimes too narrow, or their categories are sometimes too broad. The boundaries are never drawn. The conditions may not be severe enough to qualify for diagnosis, yet the psychologist comes up with a complexity in building a diagnostic system. And who decides this system? Their manuals are outdated, or they lack diversity. And there's also an opinion survey going around with these psychiatrists. So they base their diagnosis off the majority rules opinionated survey. And they include these diagnoses into the manual without seeing if there is a rate of error upon this opinionated criteria. So we should not believe the hype, y'all. You know, they tried to say that Martin Luther King had a mental disorder. Harriet Tubman had a mental disorder. Any slave that wanted to be free was a manic depressant with mood disorders and had schizophrenic and psychiatric behavior. Anybody that questioned who is over somewhat, ridiculous. In 1948, the World Health Organization, WHO, included mental disorders in the sixth edition of the International Statistical Classification of Diseases. These disorders were considered the version 1 DSMI, Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. A lot of times, oftentimes, a lot of these courts that have these people do diagnosis on defendants do not confer to this manual. Their diagnoses have not been confirmed, and they're getting away with literally murder, killing people's rights, liberty, justice, equality, what have you. Thank you, Black Power Movement. The DSM-4 contains more than 200 mental disorders and clinical criteria needed for each diagnosis. Now, and these psychiatrists do not follow these criteria. These doctors are really schizophrenic. What is schizophrenic? Schizophrenia means having a disorder of a delusion, a belief system that, you know, like they say about there were people that believed Black people had tails or we're inferior. These people are running around. They're schizophrenic. They come and have a belief system, and they impose this belief system upon you, and they really, really believe in their diagnostics. They're really psychotic in their disorders. Remember, psycho is in psychology. The word psycho is the first word. They're psychotic. Their developmental way of diagnosing people is off base, outdated. All right. It says that the labeling of people, an unfortunate byproduct of diagnosis, is that once a person is assigned a diagnosis, we then come to think that person has a disorder, when in actuality they have been misdiagnosed. It's unlikely they had a medical disorder. There was never, ever a discovery of an underlying illness. The diagnostic psychological disorder process was defective. There were no advances in research before the mechanism used to diagnose the people. And eventually, some of these psychological disorders and diseases are further researched. And then they claim it as a rate of error. Claim it as a rate of error after the people have already been labeled, locked up, doing time, for not doing crimes, and then these psychiatrists go on. They're not held accountable. Cultural and gender bias. Number one critics have stated that the psychological certain disorders and the classification of the westernized industrialized societies rate of error comes because of the cultural and gender bias. For example, choro, which is a panic state resulting from a fear that the genitals will retract into the abdomen and cause death, occurs in the Asian countries. They believe that at some point in time, their genitals will retract into the abdomen and cause death. This is an Asian cultural belief. But according to the Western ideal, this will be considered a personality disorder, meaning that a cultural belief amongst the people, if the Westernized view doesn't correlate with that, these people have a cultural disorder. And it's my opinion that the cultural disorder comes from the doctor who's doing these assessments. They don't study the cultures. they're not inclined to know the cultural expressions or distress or the meanings of these people, and then they base their own personal opinion and belief, which is prejudicial, and diagnose people. There's a serious gender bias in diagnosis, according to a 1992 study. A lot of women are diagnosed with problems and illness, and a lot of times, like in Wisconsin, I believe there's only one black psychiatrist in the state of Wisconsin. Just like there's only one black female judge. That tells you something right there. Okay, there's a tremendous need and demand for a good assessment procedure to fulfill clinical and scientific goals concerning psychological disorders. Yet this need has not been met. These people are committing human rights violations with their own personal opinions being imposed on a mass of people. The validity and the reliability of these assessments are not successful. The interviews are unstructured or structured to view a certain amount of personality inventories of people who have not participated in a performance test, such as judges or what have you. A person say they're not guilty, that's not good enough for the judges. Oh, we got to send this nigga to be assessed. I believe that all public officials should have mandatory psychological testing, especially judges. I have read, and at some point in time in the near future, I'm going to read maybe on my YouTube or maybe on my show, the opinions of black judges who now are retired or what have you, and they talk about the need for diversity on the benches, the use of the bench to further oppress a certain people, especially black people, the off-the-bench racial comments that are made. Oftentimes, I see people, and you will go to a court case, and you will hear the DA make the recommendation, and before the defense talks, you see the judge writing already. Don't give a damn about when the defendant has a right to speak before being sentenced. The judge is already making his assessment based upon the DA. Oftentimes, the diagnosis of the patient is based upon sheer observation techniques, directly watching the person's behavior, and this is a high rate of error. And, I often read a lot of people, cases who are referred to a psychiatrist down at the courthouse, and the first thing that this psychiatrist is writing, they appear to be clean. They appear to be well kept. They appear to be this and that. Unbelievable. The Diagnostic and Statistical Manual is based upon opinions and surveys, and then they're put into a certain format. Now, the opponents of the diagnosis point out that labeling often leads to dehumanization and stigmatization. Persons have been given diagnosis, and the diagnostic system has failed them. They're often criticized for its focus on Anglo-European conditions and for having an inherently male basis for judging normal and abnormal traits. So based upon what they feel, a person gets this diagnosis. Now, schizophrenia means madness, craziness, insanity, basically a psychosis. You have schizophrenic doctors who are making assessments of people. Their training is insufficient. In fact, Abraham Lincoln was diagnosed with this mental disorder, and he was given all type of pills and what have you. And a number of people in high positions were diagnosed with mental disorders. And the decisions that they made, are questionable based upon the medicine that they were given. Some medicine causes hallucinations. when hallucinations are not even symptoms within the person. You know, so we have a serious problem going on in this country. And some of the things that I want to talk about is the fact that a lot of people are worried about this United States Supreme Court ruling, which states that people that are diagnosed in a certain way, you know, a lot of them can stay in the prison if a DA or the adverse party determines that they're not ready to be released unto society. So there's a profit being made into diagnosing people mentally ill. And I want to tell you all something about Wisconsin, Milwaukee specifically. There was a large United States Supreme Court case that happened as a result of Milwaukee, in which people were running illegal, mentally ill, boarded up homes. And a lot of people died in these homes, and they slept in their own feces, and it was about 30 years ago. The patients, they were locked in psychiatric wards, and they weren't released. They were given all type of experimental drugs. And this case went all the way to the United States Supreme Court. The Journal Sentinel in Milwaukee, they did an investigation about that. It was hundreds of people that were sick and dying and neglected and being labeled mentally ill. And the people that labeled them mentally ill were given millions and millions of dollars to continuously lock these people up. They lived in filthy and dangerous conditions. And the city inspectors, they never inspected the buildings. You know, the caseworkers, they didn't do anything for the people. There was a big profit being made. And so now, even though this happened years ago, it's resurfacing. It is resurfacing. The prison complex. One of the things that I put on one of my YouTubes is about how these federal judges just got indicted and found guilty about sending juveniles to privately owned prisons, to fill up prisons, even if they weren't guilty. And guess what? They were diagnosed with mental illnesses to prolong their stay in these jails and prisons. And this is to be, you know, upsetting to a lot of people. We should be outraged. Our children were used as cattle by these Caucasian judges. And they took money under the table. You know, and this should be, you know, an outrage. The Center for Missing Children, the National Center, I can't remember the name offhand correctly, but it talked about how children are nothing more in this 21st century to a lot of people within the United States, nothing more than a commodity. A commodity. Mental illness is a profit in this country. We have the most people locked up in the world. In the world. And they are being subjected to experiments in these jails. They're given medication that causes visual hallucinations. It affects their taste, their perception, their hearing skills. I remember when my sister was unlawfully, involuntarily committed because she refused to plead guilty, being a rape victim, charged with protecting herself and her child. They put her in a Winnebago mental institution, and the psychiatrist, one thing he noted was that a lot of people took to her right away, and she was very well cooperative. You know, you put all this stuff in there. But on one of my YouTube, I mean, one of my I believe it's still up, one of my shows right on here, I'm talking to her while she's in there. And she's saying the things she's going through. And if you don't say the sky is purple, you'll get injected. If you don't say cows are flying, whatever they say is going on, you better agree with it. I mean, she slept a certain way, woke up, had needle marks on her. She heard in the middle of the night young black boys screaming. There's a boy right now in there named Elijah. And she still write him, and Elijah, you know, 17 years old, and they're trying to keep him in there. A court case in which he says he's innocent, and I believe it. He doesn't even know why he's being subjected to the things that's going on. He's been beaten up in jail. They have adults around the children. A lot of people that people that's in there for sexual assault and rape are being mingled with the other people. So there are experiments going on, and in Milwaukee County, there was a person that was found dead. A lot of oftentimes, a lot of people die in these places that was sexually assaulted. One psych, a person, a patient was found impregnated in these places. You know, these are human rights violations, and to diagnose people as mentally ill with these pseudosciences should be a federal offense. Who can help us when our government is failing us? You have a group of people, the majority Anglo-Saxon European males, imposing upon you their historical lies and illusions and delusions, in which gives a great probability that they're schizophrenic, according to their own terms, and have the clinical characteristics of schizophrenia, and diagnose people who have normal behavioral traits. What do we do? Where is our help? Millions and millions of people are in the prisons. Right now they're saying that the prison is like a mental institution. Prisons aren't supposed to be mental institutions. The psychiatrists and psychologists are having fundamental attribution errors that are going unchecked. The reliability and the validity of these assessments have a strong rate of error. They're not a science. Cultural considerations are being ignored. The clinical judgments, the critics have a bias, a preconceived notion, speculation. According to Lewis and Lyons in 1989, a study that was done stated the fact that speculations that African-American men, when they exhibit certain behavior, they are likely to be treated as criminals and sent to prison rather than diagnosed with certain illness in need of help and treatment. That does not necessarily mean they need to be in prison. The biases occur in the testing and the assessment procedures. Post-traumatic stress disorder is not taken into consideration oftentimes when victims are assessed. This is utterly ridiculous. This is utterly ridiculous. What is going on within this country is going unchecked. And because of these diagnoses, a lot of people are being subjected and forced to take toxic medication. I mean, according to a lot of these doctors and retired doctors, psychiatry is out of control. Out of control. And psychiatry dominates the mental health profession. Much of what is wrong with the psychiatry is also wrong with the whole field. This is the testimony of those that work within this broken system. The question of lay analysis, meaning there's just a cursory review and assessment given to people by people who aren't even qualified, who haven't even taken a speck out their own eyes. So, you know, not to, like, shift gears, but I'm going to shift gears. It's like my statement, not the white man's bitch. Now, why should I be apologetic for my statement when there are never apologies given to the masses of people that are affected with these preconceived notions of, you know, inferiority over people and superiority over people? You know, why should I be apologetic when you have Dr. Laura said, nigger, you should be comfortable with that. And Mel Gibson told his girlfriend, these niggers gonna do this, niggers gonna do that. Now, these people to me are schizophrenic, because schizophrenia means that people have a certain belief and delusion. So they have a certain belief and delusion that the word nigger is attributed to a certain people, stating that these people are people of color or African origin, when the word nigger was a made-up word by a certain race of people to disenfranchise people. But they have a belief system that we are these words. So anytime they say those words, they believe, they have a belief system embedded in them that nigger means black, and that you are to accept the word nigger as meaning you. And then when you, as a patient in general, are constantly told you're a nigger, you start taking on this persona. Malcolm X himself said he was called nigger so much he thought that was his name. But then when I'm screaming freedom, I'm not the white man's bitch. I'm not this dog you kicked, you roll over. You know, it's a lot of hype. Don't believe the hype. Question authority. It's stated that schizophrenics aren't bothered by extremes of heat and cold the way normal people are. I believe that because I see people in the wintertime jumping in the lake. I see people in the heat, 100-something degrees. Man, chilling. I mean, I can't be in the heat like that, you know? But, I mean, and most of the time, oftentimes, these people are in high positions. Psychiatry has been also stated as a dangerous innovation that the money buys trinkets and trinkets, turns into tens and thousands, hundreds of dollars without incident, meaning that it's going unchecked. This is, to me, this is a part of the new world order. To diagnose as many people as mentally ill based upon the Anglo-Saxon point of view and to take control of a person. And this is why we need certain people of diverse backgrounds on these federal benches. Now, let me just tell you for your information, you do not have to have experience to be a federal judge. Look at this judge who made this adverse ruling against me. He's telling masses of people that a habeas corpus is for people that's in custody. And no one is going to check what this man said. No one is looking at how many times his ruling has been overruled. No one is going to research Hensley versus Municipal Court, in which the United States Supreme Court stated, when your liberty is being infringed upon, the habeas corpus is a tool. And that you do not have to be in the physical custody of the state. But because we often believe the hype, these assessments of these people who have no really training and background is believed. The conditioning of the system.
There's a book called Everything You Know is a Lie. It's deep. I hope you all can get that book. Just like there's a massive belief that, you know, this term Abraham's cabin, Abraham Lincoln in this cabin, when the facts are this cabin wasn't even built until after Abraham Lincoln died. You know, I'm just saying that don't believe the hype. Propaganda is a tool to make you believe a lie. Man, you have people for hundreds and hundreds of years kicking your ass and talking about you their enemy and they don't like you, and now you get a hand extended to you, an olive branch, and now you ready to call them your friend? I don't like to become friends with my enemies. Once they be my enemies, you know, I'm real leery of people. And I just feel for these, and you know, the juveniles that's locked up, the juveniles, these babies in prison, in these jails, and it's hard to see what's going on because these cases are sealed, that the courts are not open to the public, and they're treated 10 to 20 times worse than the adults. Cases you can walk into the court. We should be in tears. We should not be walking around happy. We should always be in mourning because this is sick. What they're doing to our babies, they're institutionalized in childhood. I remember Ethan Allen had an incident where it was one of these teachers or these adults having sex with one of them boys. And we don't hear nothing else about it. This stuff pisses me off. And see, we have to realize that what the westernized view calls mentally illness, because of what has been done to us, is really mentally realness. Mental ill and mentally real. It's a difference. When you become aware of different things, you should be considering yourself mentally ill when you are comfortable with this abnormal situation and atmosphere that you've been put in. It's mental illness to believe you were a slave, to believe slavery existed. This is an act of war. To use terminology that your people put you, these people put you in and captivated you in and conditioned you in and took a mass of people who fought back and who are continuing to fight, and to call it slavery, romanticize an act of war upon a people, that is just sick. That's a slap in the face of our ancestors. And sometimes we slip and call it slavery. We should correct ourselves. And like I always say, that's why you're not going to get an apology for slavery, because it's not over and it wasn't slavery, and apologies come after the fact. We're still engaging in battle. And some people that look like us are amongst our enemies. And true humanity, real humanity, just like Lil Wayne said, is caring about people and not discriminating against them because of their color or their creed. But unfortunately, the first thing you see when you see a person is the outer. And that's why I made that decision where, you know, When I went to go collect my signatures, I would walk around in flip-flops. When I went to that hearing, I walked around in flip-flops, had my summer shirt on. You know, I'm scheduled to do some other interviews. I'm going to dress how I want to dress. You know, like Andy Irie said, I'm not my hair, I'm not my clothes. You don't even know what's within. See, it's really dangerous to judge according to the flesh. And I wanted to show people that because I'm not conforming to these costumes being, you know, worn. When people in my district don't walk around with suits on. And people, when they wear them heels, they're going out to the club. You know, I had a lot of heels, and I had a lot of tight shoes and a whole bunch of stuff, you know. But when that pervert did that stuff and illegally came my home and my shoes and stuff were scattered, I felt like in my heart that man was trying on my shoes and was just, I had all type of thoughts in my head. I felt so violated. Man, I'm talking about I had some wrong shoes throughout the years, and right then and there, it showed me that material things don't even matter, because I threw that stuff away without a second thought, you know? I mean, none of that stuff mattered to me when I looked at my house and seeing how I was violated and how my children's stuff was violated. I didn't want to touch none of that stuff. Man, I was so heated. They didn't scare me, you know? They angered me. And oftentimes when people are diagnosed from these psychiatrists and these judges and these westernized, indoctrinated people, there are so many skeletons within their closet, within their lifestyle. And like judges and lawyers, they have anonymous hotlines to help them deal with certain disorders and what have you. But I think that's unfair to the people, because if you can do a study on the United States president and say that the people should be allowed to know what their commander-in-chief point of view and mindset is, this rationale should be used in the court system. You know, it should be used in the police station. You had a group of police in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that went bobsledding on police time. And then when they almost got caught, they said it was chasing a black man. It was always a black man did this, a black man did that. You know, I just watched. There's a YouTube video. The Milwaukee police got their own little YouTube crap channel. And yeah, one older woman, Lele Cods, and she's standing by the police, and there's two Caucasian police women, and they're in shorts. And they're standing there like, you know, yeah, we protect and defend. And I'm looking like, ain't this about a trip? These are the same police officers a few days ago, after I did an interview. So I'm walking down the street, and I got these people's name I have it in front of me, but it's an elderly black woman, an elderly black man. They were sitting on a bench. And, man, I'm telling you, I don't know if I wanted to cry or if I wanted to just, I don't have a lot of anger for what I'm looking at, because right here, right then and there, I had to use self-control to appear as I was on a bus stop. These same women that's in this video went up to these, I have 90 seconds in the show. If you want to call in and listen, you can do that. These same women that were on this YouTube, they went in this elderly couple's bag, opened their beer, took it out, threw it on the ground, smashed it, went into their car and wrote this elderly couple or people, that I don't know if they're a couple or not, tickets. After over with, I went up to them. The woman started crying, God, it's good. I don't know, nobody saw that. The police station wasn't that far. So I went with them to the police station. I said, we're going to file a complaint. Give me your name. I'll be a witness or what have you. And then this woman started telling me how her daughter was killed at the lake, you know, last year, South shot up. A lot of these crimes be happening in Milwaukee, y'all. Police are contributing to these crimes. I can do another show about some homicides that were declared not homicide.
You know, and I have factual evidence that the police were involved in these matters. So there's a lot of stuff going on, y'all. It's a lot of stuff going on. And this mental illness diagnosis is only one of the tools of the oppressors to further oppress the people. And if we the people don't do something about it, nothing's up. You know? So we should really don't believe the hype. You know, and we need to do what's right. We gotta fight back. Just like you just heard this brother said the oppressor will always tell you that it's impossible. So I believe that's the end of my show. It says that the show is on but not streaming. So I want to end my show kind of how like I began my show with Lil Wayne. Because I really like what he's talking about, so I mixed it down. Peace. Thank you all for coming. Don't believe the hype and do what's right.
I'm
just a soul whose intentions are pure. Oh, God, please don't let me be misunderstood.
I watched the TV the other day, right? Got this white guy on there talking about black guys. Talking about how young black guys are talking about who? America. You see, one in every 100 Americans are locked up. One in every 9 black Americans are locked up. You see, what the white guy was trying to stress is that the money that we spend on sending motherfuckers to jail, a young motherfucker to jail, would be blessed to send his or her young ass to college. See, the last thing the white guy was stressing was that our drugs populated with drugs, you know, crack cocaine, yeah, stuff like that. Meaning, due to the laws we have on crack cocaine and regular cocaine, the police are only, I don't say only right, but shit, only logic by riding around in the hood all day and not in the suburbs, because crack cocaine is mostly found in the hood. And, you know, the other thing is, you know where I'm going. But why bring a motherfucker to jail if he's not going to stand up? Of course. Because this drug ain't that drug. You know, level 3, level 4 drugs, shit like that. I guess it's all a misunderstanding. And, I sit back and think, well, shit, us young motherfuckers, you know, that 1 in every 9. We probably only selling the crack cocaine because we in the hood. And it's not like your suburbs. We don't have the things that you have. Why? I really don't want to know that. But, I guess it's understood, huh? Yeah. You know, we don't have room in jail now for the real motherfuckers, the real criminals, you know, sex offenders, rapists, serious killers. You know, we don't have room in jail now for the real motherfuckers, the real criminals, you know, sex offenders, rapists, You know, we don't have room in jail now for the real motherfuckers, the real criminals, you know, sex offenders, rapists. Serious killer, shit like that. Oh, don't get scared. Don't get scared. I know you saw her new sex in the papers. Oh, trip. He live right on the end of your block. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That nigga live right down the street from you. Sex offender on the level 3 drug. Convicted. Ex-con. Yeah. Check him out. And what you got? You got a daughter, son? What you got? Yeah. You know what? I'm back to track. That's the good read. You know what? I have a fucking dog. You understand me? And why the fuck would you bring my neighbor to jail just because The reason why he lived next door to me ain't the reason why I live next door to him. Meaning, he didn't rap his way to my fucking neighborhood. He sold crack cocaine to get to my neighborhood. You move him out, bring him to jail for life. And then you move him to jail. They give me a paper. You gotta misunderstand it, because I don't understand it. Not a thing. Let me take my glasses off. Not a thing. Let me take my glasses off. Because I won't see the reaction on the faces when I say this. Mr. Al Sharpton, here's why I don't respect you. And nobody likes you. See, you're the type that gets off getting on other people. That's not good. No homo. They're rather unhuman, I should say. I mean, given the fact that humanity, well, good humanity rather, to me, is helping one another, no matter your color or race. But this guy, and me, given the fact that humanity, well, good humanity rather, to me, is helping one another, no matter your color or race. But good humanity rather, this guy and people like him, they'd rather speculate before they informate, if that's the word. You know, spec before check. Anyway, Nina, I much rather you talk to me first and see if you can lend an opinion before you make one. Just my thought of good humanity, Mr. Sharpton. Hold on, I ain't finished with you, man. I gotta plug that shit. Hold on. Mr. Sharpton, and anyone like you, you don't know me. So, if you're not gonna try to, then what you say or think of, or whatever I do is totally cast for the friendly ghost. For you. And it doesn't make you a good person to criticize because you empathize. Doesn't necessarily make you a bad person either, but the characteristics are heavily into bad way. Because I am human, I am good and bad as well. But I try my hardest to stay good. And some of the things I do and say may be bad or just not too good. But I do try. So with that said, I don't fault you. I mean, you're only human. Good or bad. But I also don't respect you. And I don't care if that's good or bad. Good or bad. But I also don't respect you. And I don't care.
But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, God, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Baby.
You understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh God, please don't let me be misunderstood.